Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Happy game week, Bulldogs. You finally made it. And yeah, I was jacked up yesterday. Went ahead and wrote about 3 stories about Southern Miss. And then went and covered the Mississippi State soccer team knocking off number 10 Wake Forest. Good win. I mean, really a good win. Zach Selman and I spoke post-game. It's like, yeah, this is one of those games, too, that when the committee gets ready to assign seating, that's going to help us a good bit. We expect Wake to be really good this year. Obviously, they're number 10. But that's a really good non-conference dub for the ladies. And Allie Perry with a PK proved to be the game winner. And Kara Harris with a nice header. And I'll tell you this, too. For those of you that don't know the game of soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, I don't think, like the novice fan, I don't think you understand how difficult that goal was that Kara Harris scored. I don't think you do. If you don't know the game, you don't comprehend it. And so I'm going to try to explain it a little bit here. So she's running backside after a corner, right? And sometimes you can kind of clean up the trash there, right? The corner wasn't successful. It gets kind of popped back out. And the next thing you know, Allie Perry is in space. And to kind of throw around some soccer nomenclature for you, she is what we call calm on the ball. There are a lot of players that get the ball and they treat it like a hot potato, can't wait to get rid of it. Not Allie Perry, which is one of the things that separates her from so many other players. Very good in space, very good at creating space. Well, she gets free. Keeper has to come out. Shot is made, it's blocked. And then there's Kara Harris. Right, working weak side is something she said that they talked about in training all week. The weak side's got to get there. So she heads it in, and it bounces in. Okay, now that's what we teach players to do, because when you leave your feet to head the soccer ball, immediately, more times than not, because of your elevation, the ball will elevate too, right? It just makes sense. You're jumping up in the air. And so sometimes, if you're not in the proper positioning, the ball will just sail over the net. But instead, if she gets up early and then heads the ball down, and of course, it bounces and goes in. You know, you don't get any style points for that. But it was a very impressive goal from her. And for some reason, Wake Forest kind of brings out the best in her. But nevertheless, huge win for Mississippi State. And I can tell you guys, too, I know a lot of people kind of expected us to take a step back this year. And maybe we will a little bit. I mean, I don't expect us to win the SEC. But we have a quality side. And if you were thinking, okay, well, last year was just kind of an anomaly, I think you're wrong. kind of joke with Nick Zimmerman in postgame. I said, you kind of got this coaching thing figured out, huh? But yeah, 2-0 now, and of course, it's interesting, right? You know, non-conference play, got to hit the road now for a couple of road games to play at Baylor and Oklahoma State. We defeated both teams last year. We'll go there to kind of wrap up a home-and-home deal. Both of those teams are beatable, certainly. Baylor not having a good year. Oklahoma State not really out of the gate, but they'll have quality athletes. They will. They recruit extensively in Texas, which is a soccer-crazy state. But nevertheless, if you were kind of thinking that maybe you come out to a match, which is free to attend, we encourage you to come out and be part of that. Be great. Next time we get together, I think, is September 4th against Louisiana Tech. Should be a good night. Should be good weather, too. And aren't you enjoying this cooler weather? I am. I am. And it's got an old man in his feelings a little bit, man. Love this cooler weather. Hope you guys are enjoying it as well. And I want to thank so many that have reached out and offered their congratulations to our daughter, Mia, who is in orientation now at Harvard Law. And it's so interesting, like I meet people, and I joke with Mia this morning, I'm going to get a Harvard dad hoodie and I'm going to wear it around Starkville like I'm the king. Because I'm so incredibly proud of her. And it's been so great, like so many of you, you know, have reached out and said, Steve, this is amazing. And you know what? It is amazing. It is her accomplishment, though, right? I'm exceptionally proud of her. I appreciate your well wishes. But she is the one that did all the work to win, what was it, 9 national championships at Mississippi State. And one of the cool things, too, I wanted to share with you guys, too, just to show you how great these kids are at Mississippi State University. So Mia had took a gap year. Like, she graduated summa cum laude after winning all these string of NAFL championships, the most decorated speech and debate student, arguably, of all time. We had never won a speech and debate NAFL championship individually or as a team in the university's history. My daughter won 9. And so this year, when the state debate team got ready to go to nationals, they asked her to go with them as a consultant. And she went. And what do you know? This year's debate team wins the team national championship, the first in school history. And I'm proud to say that it was my child that helped put the first wheel on that wagon. I can't say enough about the people involved with Mississippi State speech and debate and the difference they have made in my daughter's life. And I got to go all the way back to Starkville High School. This is a young lady that used to want to marry her cat, you know, when she was little, you know. And she comes to Starkville High School, and somebody recommended that she try out for speech and debate. And, of course, she should have been a state champion, and I still believe there was some malfeasance at play. Her and her partner went undefeated throughout the year, and then in the state championship final, she didn't win. And you'll never convince me otherwise. That's just how I feel. That's how I feel, but I think how stupid it looks now that she couldn't be a state champion because what I believe were egg bowl politics, but then she wins 9 national championships and helps coordinate state's effort to win the national championship as a team and is now at Harvard Law. So for those of you that voted against her for the state championship when she was at Starkville High School, you can absolutely suck it. All right, let's go ahead and move forward. Now let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Love Bulldog Burger Company, and I look forward to enjoying some Bulldog Burger Company here in the days ahead. It's one of the best things about being home, right? There's just some restaurants here. As I travel and I eat other places, I'm like, you know what? This just makes me miss my places back home, and that's Bulldog Burger Company, right? Go put your feet under their table. You'll be glad you did. They'll take care of everything else. They'll take care of everything else. Everything else, right? That's the cool thing about it. I like going somewhere that I'm going to get good service because a night out is not just an excuse to not cook. Sometimes it's just a night to go socialize and kind of catch up with the bride or one of my children. I just want to be able to focus on them. And I can do that at Bulldog Burger Company. You go put your feet under their table and then make your order. And the next thing you know, you're going to get a quality meal at a great price, great atmosphere. And I think that's an important aspect. It's kind of lost in today. We all talk about it among ourselves, right? I keep bumping the mic there. I'm sorry. We say, you know, customer service is a lost art form. Well, it certainly is an art form at Bulldog Burger Company. They take a lot of pride in their quality of service, which is why we keep coming back, right? Find your own favorites. I plan to get the Pimentology add bacon on my next trip. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake and ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, since we have been together, I have done a little more reconnaissance, shall we say. I've reached out to some people, and you know, cool thing that I want to share with you guys too. It helps that I've got people willing to take my call or return my call. There are a lot of people out there that just read what all the national pundits have to say, and then they just go with that and kind of pass it off as some sort of collective opinion. That's not me. And also, maybe I'm arrogant, but I just feel like, you know what, I could probably get this same information, if not more. And I believe that I have. I don't read extensively other people in the national college football media, but occasionally I do. There are a few people that I do enjoy reading, but by and large, most people are just kind of regurgitating the other things that maybe Ross Dellinger and others have learned. That's just what I've seen. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm biased, but one thing I want to put out to you, the AD vote for the 9-game SEC football schedule beginning in 2026 was unanimous. Now, that wasn't always the case. Again, when we first rolled this thing out, it was pretty close. And then the votes began to kind of go against the 9-game schedule. Of course, a lot of people want that. And as I shared with you guys before, the reason the Power Four mandate stayed is because that sold inventory. And that's already part of the deal. That's already part of the TV deal, right? But kind of what sweetened the pot, of course, was ESPN stepping up and saying, hey, $5 million more per game per school. And that's really the thing, I think, that was missing before, because decision makers within this league had told me before, prior to this vote, in earlier votes, there just wasn't any benefit. There wasn't any monetary gain. Of course, it kind of makes it more difficult for teams to get bowl eligible, more teams to get to the playoff. But $5 million in a very revenue-centric society will make a difference. That $5 million could be the difference in a lot of things, but it's going to be about 5 or 6 years, I guess, before we renegotiate the deal with ESPN. You may do it before then, who knows? But one of the main reasons you do this is really just to kind of build value within the SEC. You know, Big Ten got a great deal. And so we needed to make sure that our TV deal and our revenue streams were on par, if not better. And this is kind of where I think we are with all this. And there were a lot of people, wasn't just Mississippi State, they wanted to stay with the 8-game model. But after the House settlement case was, you know, a real reality of things, you know, it's just kind of how it was. It's the best thing to do. It's what's best for Mississippi State. It is. And again, I'm of the thinking, too, if Ole Miss can do it, so can we. They're not any better than us. They may be a little bit better at paying players, but the reality of it is that, you know, we live in the same state. We have the same recruiting footprint. We have the same methodology that we can use within the rules to incentivize players to come here and invest in our football program. Another thing I think is interesting too, and this is probably something, I don't know if this has been out there a lot publicly. I know that it's been reported, like, the league itself is not going to just use its own thinking to set the schedule. There is a third party, an analytics company, and I don't know exactly who that's going to be, but this is going to vary year to year. This is not going to be, okay, well, this year you went to Texas, next year they come to you. That's not how it's going to work. Every schedule will be based on the previous year's analytics to try to even the schedules out a little bit. So it won't be a scenario where, like what we're dealing with now, right, you know, with Texas and Georgia. Now you add Florida and you think, okay, well then, you know, Florida came to Mississippi State last year, so you have to go to Florida next year. That's just not going to be the case. So I think in some respects that's going to add some intrigue to the schedule release. It's one of those things, everybody wants engagement. You know, you're not going to have really an idea from year to year about who you're going to play until the SEC releases the actual schedule. Makes a lot of sense, right? The permanent opponents, too, that's not going to necessarily be, quote, permanent. Now, we'll always have Ole Miss. Always. Alabama will always have Auburn. And you've got these secondary rivalries. They've tried to keep alive Auburn and Georgia, Tennessee and Alabama. You know, we held the whole league hostage for generations because of the third Saturday in October. I've done a whole show on that. It's ridiculous. But nevertheless, it's going to be something that every 4 years, it's going to kind of be revisited and to ensure competitive balance, right? Because, like, you know, like, look at baseball, right? Who knew, you know, 5 years ago Tennessee would become what they've become? A lot of people would say, well, you kind of saw it coming, Steve. Well, I don't know if that's really the case, but there are going to be teams that have good runs, and there are going to be teams that have bad runs. And if you recall, and a lot of people, maybe you young bucks, don't know this, but you know, back in the day when we were 12 teams, we expanded the league. I guess it was in 91, and the first schedule was 92. I think that's right. Anyway, early 90s. So they gave State Kentucky and gave Ole Miss Vanderbilt. And it was really so those four teams, you know, somebody's going to get an SEC win. Right? That was, again, that was about competitive balance to give somebody an opportunity to maybe reach a bowl game. And, you know, back in the late 90s, of course, you know, we had Kentucky and Vanderbilt. You had two permanent opponents for a while. And then after Mississippi State gets to Atlanta, people are like, well, this isn't fair. You know, they didn't play Georgia. That's not right. You know, they didn't play this team or that team or whoever. But the reality of it is something that is going to be semi-permanent and then reevaluated every few years. I think all of that is important to kind of point out. There's a lot of layers to this. And there's a lot to this, of course, that you know, we'll learn as we move forward. And one of the things that I'm hearing, kind of unofficially, is this is the next step towards the next playoff expansion. This is to position the SEC in a place where we should probably get four automatic qualifiers for the playoff, for the expanded playoff. Now, that's one of those things. You know, Greg Sankey obviously is a shaker and a difference maker and things of that nature. But this is all not just going to be about the SEC. This is going to be about the bigger picture. And there have been some times, obviously, and Mississippi State would have been in the mix. I mean, you think about that, too. Like, you go back to 2014, we'd have been in the playoff. Yeah, Dax junior year, we would have been in an expanded playoff. And so,
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards.
Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. To suggest that that's not a reality or possibility or even a probability for Mississippi State is just not correct. It's not. It doesn't feel that way today. But the reality of it is yeah, we can do it too. And that was the thing I said last year, like with Ole Miss. They were built to win last year. But if you go back and look, even though they had a couple of good years, they were kind of built to win last year. They kind of had Jackson Dart as a drawing card. And I don't care what you say. And even the most biased of Mississippi State fan has to admit Jackson Dart was a really good quarterback for Ole Miss. He fit their system well. And then, of course, they kind of tailored their play calling to kind of fit his skill set. And, never lost, an Egg Bowl in Oxford. Of course, we got him back in 2022. But, reality of this thing is if they can do it, so can we. And with these extra $5 million, and I know some people have talked about, maybe you got to use that money to buy out contracts and all that kind of stuff. Well, as it stands today, we only have two non-conference games contractual for next year, the next 2 years. So, no, we don't have to buy out contracts. We're in the process of actually adding another non-conference opponent. And I would suspect that would be an FCS team. So that's something that we'll kind of look forward to seeing here in the days and weeks to come is who Mississippi State elects to add in 2026 as the final non-conference opponent. We don't know who our conference opponents are going to be. And, of course, that's going to be determined based on the on-the-field results this year. We'll get through the season. They'll run the analytics. And then we'll have probably in the spring at some point, we'll have our SEC schedule because you got to give coaches plenty of time to prepare. It's not something you can just roll out to them in August and say, here you go. That's news that I thought you guys needed to know. Just, again, some things that maybe aren't really public yet. I just think it's interesting, and I think this is a good thing for Mississippi State that we're going to reassess conference scheduling annually. We know we're going to have nine, but you're never going to be, just kind of stuck in playing the same teams. And for me, and I know you guys, some of you feel this way too. Like I go back and I remember when my best friend from high school, Ernie Turner, he had a son. I have two, but at the time my son was a little bit older. And then Nicholas, but we wanted our boys to know each other. It was important to us. And even though I lived in Baton Rouge and he lived in Pearl, we'd come up, hang out on Friday, and we had season tickets together, and we would go to these games. And one of our goals every year was to go to a road game. We're going to pick up at least one road game every year. We wanted to see every SEC stadium. And then, of course, I began to work full-time for Gene's Page and got out of the recruiting aspect in some respects, but still work on that. But you understand, I picked up more team coverage responsibilities. I've been to every SEC campus, and that's a really cool thing. And that's one of those things I think as a fan, you don't have to wait years and years and years. The way this new rotation is going to work out, you're going to see more frequency. So, in the event that you have some lame brain friend agree to get married the weekend, that we're going to Williams-Brice, well, you're not going to have to wait a decade to get a second chance to go back, right? Or you have, a friend whatever, that decides they want to get married the weekend that we're going to the swamp. Maybe you can't go this year because one of your friends who's got an interesting life in front of him agreed to a football weekend wedding. Got my own opinions about that. But the good thing is you will no longer have to wait a decade or more. And again, I think about us going to Missouri this year. It's been 10 years. They've been in the league forever now, it seems. We went up there in 15 with Dak and won on a rainy Thursday night. Drew Locke played in that game, his second start, I believe. But Drew Locke played in that game, and now here we are 10 years later going back to Missouri. 10 years. It shouldn't be that way. And again, you think every student athlete should have the ability to play everybody in the league during their college career and probably play them home and away. I mean, that just makes good sense to me. That makes a good experience. You have the chance to get out and go travel, play in these historic venues. I think it's a super cool thing. That's more of a reality now with the 9-game schedule and this new format. It's not necessarily an even rotation, as we discussed. So, again, for those of you that have kind of panicked, you know, we're getting some more information that kind of leads us to believe it may not be as bad as we thought. There's some other people out there, their whole line of thinking is, oh, yeah, this is what I want. I want what's best for Mississippi State. And it's so interesting. You know, like everybody's like, well, you know, it was unanimous. Well, it may have been unanimous when they actually voted, but there was some discussion. There was a lot of discussion. It wasn't as simple as like, okay, here's what we can do. Let's all vote. And everybody's like, yes. Now, there had to be some people that needed to be convinced. And that's important to understand, too. A lot of people are trying to kind of use this to fit their own narrative about this, but that's just kind of the reality of life. But it's just cool to think that, hey, let's say for an example that we have a down year like last year. You know, so like based on the data as I understand it, had this model and this analytics piece been involved this year, we wouldn't be playing this schedule. It'd be much different. And I think that's a good thing because you can't have those years. I mean, it's a very unforgiving league anyway, but as you regroup with a new coach or a major injury or whatever, and then you go 2-10, okay, well, we're just going to roll out the same schedule as last year and we'll just flip the venues. That doesn't help much, you know. And so this gives you a little bit of a chance. If you do get to the bottom of the league, that maybe the next year you've got a little easier schedule to deal with. And I'm not a person that believes we should lower the hurdles, but when you're a brand new coach trying to build a brand new culture in a brand new place and you got to go out there and play 6 playoff teams, it's tough. Yeah, it really is. So, again, wanted to share that with you here in the opening segment because I think it's very important that that we just kind of share what we learn from people that know. You don't just listen to this show to hear me talk about music. And speaking of music, when we wrap up our first segment, we did have our first rehearsal on Saturday for the 988 project, and I so appreciate everybody involved in the project. And, we're going to have to rehearse again, you know, obviously. I think by the end of it, we felt pretty good. We also jammed some other tunes, too. Many of you are probably curious about that. We did kind of out of your mind version of Everything's In from Bush. I joke with you guys about that. We played around with War Pigs a little bit just because we all love Ozzy Osbourne. The highlight for me, I think, was super cool. We did No Excuses from Alice in Chains, and that was pretty cool. But, it's raw vocals, and, of course, I'm old and, you know, got to get my voice back into shape. But it was good to be around some dudes and just kind of be dudes for a while. We talked about sports. We talked about music and the music industry and some of our favorite songs and things of that nature. And we talked about, you know, this cause that we're working towards. And, again, we want to make sure we do a good job. And so once we get prepared, we'll begin to set a date for the actual performance that we'll do, and we'll video that, and you guys kind of know my plans there. But super cool. And 4 of the 5 guys are Bulldogs. The other guy is a former Bulldog that flipped to the Rebels. We're going to do our best to get him back where he belongs. But nevertheless, not a lot of football discussed. A little bit. Not a lot. A little bit. Mainly music. But it was a good time. And that's the thing, too, that, you know, I'm always such the manager. Like, I wake up the next day and I was like, hey, next time we do it, let's do this, 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 and this. You know, you kind of learn and you want to tweak and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, it's just a super cool thing. You know, just kind of sit down with your friends and make music. It is. And I wish life was more like that, right? And it's like I think about all those old stories, right, of, you know, before everybody had television, they would sit around and play the piano and gather around the piano and sing songs. They'd get out by the fire and somebody get out an acoustic guitar and everybody sang. And I just think, you know, what a bonding experience that must have been, you know. I mean, it truly had to have been that. So why can't we have some campfire, caroling from time to time? We should. We're grown people. We don't have to go log into Netflix every time we lay down. We can schedule something cool. Think about how cool that would be. It's like, hey, going to have a couple musicians come by, and we're all going to sing. We're all going to sing. We'll sing as a group. We're not going to be any solos. Not going to make anybody embarrassed. But we're all going to sit around. We're going to sing Signs from Tesla. Or we're going to sing, our favorite songs. And then somebody will get on the piano. And we're just all going to sing along. Everybody have a few drinks, or maybe not. And we're just going to enjoy being together. Wouldn't that be a fun Friday night to get together and just do that? To just sit there as a group and just kind of play music? I mean, it's so cool to think about that. And I had a great time doing it. And I called my wife about, I don't know, maybe we're 2 hours into it. And she said, oh, so how was it? I said, oh, it's still going on. it's still going on. And when it was over, I texted her and said, hey, Blake and I are going to stop and grab something to eat. And I'm heading back. And she goes, did you have fun? I said, I had a blast. And she goes, I'm glad. I'm glad you're able to get out of the house and go do something fun. And that's, I have already been blessed in that respect, right? No matter what happens the rest of the way, but just getting back into the room, listen, I'm the least talented guy among these guys. These guys are practicing musicians, and every one of them has recorded an album in somewhat recent years. So I wanted to surround myself with people that were better than me. I have done that, and my hope is that they will elevate me, as a musician. A lot of it, too, is just kind of getting your voice back in shape, But it's interesting, too, but people don't understand this. Like, studio singing is easy. You say, but Steve, no, it's easy. You got a lot of safeguards around you. And if you make a mistake, you go back and just recut it. You can always add a little reverb or add, some more technique to it. There's always some things you can do. When you're singing live, you don't have as much of that. There's not really a net to catch you when you fall. And so you got to learn the cues, that there's built-in cues in songs. You may not realize it because you're just an average listener. But there are cues within the song. A lot of times, it's a change in drum beat or a run or something like that, or a key change. There's always something. But you got to learn all that. And it's one thing to do it listening to the actual song, because you're just singing the vocal, right? But then all of a sudden, you don't have that to rely on. And you don't have the actual music, right? Because, we don't have, I won't tell you the name of the song, we don't have people playing the strings. And so it's kind of our rendition. Then we get there and find out one of the guys doesn't play guitar anymore, And so it's like there's a lot to this. And so it's our rendition of this song, but it takes some time to kind of compose that. And it was a lot of fun, but it's a challenge. I wish I was better. I wish I still had those 25-year-old vocal cords. But no matter what we do, we're going to do something good for other people. And appreciate your support of that endeavor. I'll keep you updated as we go. All right, time for our close with Blair, Player of the Day. Blair Chandler is our friend. Blair Chandler knows what it means to buy a home. For many of you, the dream of home ownership has eluded you. And maybe it's not necessarily because of you. Maybe you just had the wrong mortgage loan originator. I'm not going to sit here and blame it all on them, because sometimes it is you. Maybe you're not in a position to buy a home. Blair Chandler can let you know if you are, and if not, give you a plan to get there. Give him a call at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Get his 24 years of knowledge and expertise working for you. You'll be glad you did. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or possibly that game day condo, which may be more affordable than you think, right? And maybe you're planning for the future to get that game day condo and turn that into your retirement home. We probably got too much house here, but I don't think the bride wants to move. But when we do, I'm going to reach out to Blair Chandler and say, Blair, here's what I'm thinking. What can you do for me? Right? Blair rides the wave of emotion just like you do. Visit him at closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E, with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. That number goes directly to him, too. That's not a call center, receptionist, his processor, none of that stuff. It goes directly to Blair. So we're keeping it in the family every time we can. Again, that's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay. Let's see here. We had a request over the weekend. His name is Steve, which is a good thing, out of Vicksburg, Mississippi. You know him on Twitter as RedLick83. And so, yeah, we're going to get this, right? And so he hit us up and he's like, hey, you know, have you guys done a Ted Nugent list? Well, we have, but it was back in the infancy of the show. And I thought, you know what, let's revisit our list. Roy couldn't find it. I know we did it, but we're going to do it again. Now, I know a lot of people, you're like, hey, Steve, that doesn't align with my politics. Guys, there's a lot of artists that I do on this show that you don't know their politics because they're not outspoken about it. It doesn't make them less of an artist, right? Like, I think I know who Billy Joe Armstrong voted for in the presidential election, if he voted, from Green Day we're talking about. You know, because that's kind of become the shtick, right, for them. I mean, that's what failing people do. You know, they change, they deflect. Hey, I know our music isn't any good, but, you know, down with these people, right? I'm a person that believes in unity, and I don't really care who you voted for. I'm glad you voted. And even if you elected not to vote, I respect your right not to vote. I love you just the same. Chances of us sitting down and agreeing on everything are probably pretty slim anyway. But I'm certainly not going to lose any friends because of political issues. I'd encourage you to do the same. But anyway, I am confident somebody's going to message me about this. And let me just look around here and see if I can find some sympathy. Looks right. No, there's none here. So we're celebrating the music of Ted Nugent, not necessarily the personal beliefs of Ted Nugent. Okay? So make sure we understand that. So here we go, number 10. Back before you knew him as Uncle Ted, Ted Nugent was in a psychedelic band called the Amboy Dukes. And maybe you know that song, or the band, pardon me, or maybe you don't. But they put together several albums. Let's see, Ted was on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 albums with the Amboy Dukes, one of those a live album. We're going to go with the title track off album number 2, Journey to the Center of the Mind. Nugent was the lead guitar player and sometimes a vocalist in this band. Eventually, they disbanded and then he went solo back in 1975 and put together just a score of albums. A ton of them, but we're going to feature some of those on the show today too. Number 2, one of the best guitar songs I think in the catalog. I think the album itself was kind of underproduced, but it's Motor City Madhouse. Absolutely love that track. That's number 9. Number 8, and again one of my favorite from the Ted Nugent solo catalog. It's Just What the Doctor Ordered. I think the vocal is really good. It was like they finally put some money behind Ted. Of course, the catalog is what it is, you know. And we could probably do a top 10 just of Ted solo stuff. But I wanted to work in some damn Yankee stuff, too. That brings us to song number 7. Off the album Don't Tread. And this is one of those beautiful songs, too, right? I love the lyrical harmonies between Blades and Shaw. You got Tommy Shaw, of course, some Styx, and Jack Blades, some Night Ranger. Roy's a big Night Ranger guy. But Where Are You Going Now? It's one of these songs, too. It's about a relationship, right? And it kind of feels like, to me, and I may see it different. You may see it differently. It's okay. But it's like this person comes in and out of your life. Like, where are you going now? Right? And then it says, when you get to the top of the hill, I'm going to be there. Yes, I will. Great harmonies. And a song that I think is, just kind of dripping with emotion. Going back to some Ted solo stuff, number 5 is Wango Tango. And it is a wild ride, bro. It is. It truly is. Wango Tango was a good one. Back to some damn Yankee stuff, number 5. I originally went with a different song and I changed my mind. It's a masterpiece, and I elected to share it on my Facebook too today because there's so many people that have this revisionist history of what happened in the early 90s to rock music, and there are people like, well, there weren't any good music back then. There was. That self-titled Damn Yankees album is phenomenal. And the best track on that album, I think, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's Come Again. That's your number five track. Number four, one of these Ted Nugent classics from the Free For All album 1976 is the title track, Free For All. Number eight, and this was off the debut album, I think. Let me look for a second. Let me just double check. Yeah, it was. It was a big hit, and it would be irresponsible for me to put this ahead of just my favorites. But it's a song that to this day is still played regularly and on radio, rock radio. It's High Enough from the Damn Yankees. You know, Can You Take Me High Enough to Fly Me Over Yesterday? It's kind of poetic in many respects. Final two are going to be Ted Nugent solo tracks, and Ted's still making music, but this is a guitar masterpiece, and it's played in a lot of sporting venues, but it's a song, too, that's got some controversy to it, too, because you wonder if this is a metaphoric lyric or a literal lyric when he talks about, I got you in a stranglehold, baby. Yeah. There's some controversy with the track. It is. But it's a masterpiece of guitar work. That's number two. But number one, you got to know. You got to know what number one is, right? And it's kind of a song of coming of age in many respects. It's Cat Scratch Fever. That's number one, Cat Scratch Fever. And there's some double entendre and some other stuff that's just kind of straight ahead that some may consider offensive on the song, but I dig it, and I listen to it, and I'm not ashamed to tell you that. It's a rock anthemic classic, and at some point, many of us have had Cat Scratch Fever. Some of us still do, but that's your top 10 list for today, and again, I hope that, you know, I hope it doesn't make your toes curl or perhaps make you turn your nose up either. It's just music. A couple things I want to say too, you know, just, you know, looking at social media and all as a whole, one of the things that I would encourage people to do is, you know, stop being offended at everything because we have it really good in the United States. Doesn't mean we can't be better. We can be. We have really good in the United States, especially when you look relative to everybody else. And some people would say, well, I'm not concerned about what happens there. I'm concerned about what happens here. Well, you should be concerned about injustice anywhere in the world and that there are some people out there that are treated much worse than us and get far more strict punishments for lesser things than we do. I mean, there's just some weird things that happen around the world. And that's not to excuse us. That's not to say, well, at least we're not them. Because, you know, what aboutism is kind of the enemy of honesty, right? And you see it all the time. Like, I get so irritated. I go on these Facebook comments and, you know, they'll have found, like, you know, some guy killed, like, five people, you know. And then somebody in the comments are like, well, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? Can we talk about this? You know, some people have TikTok brain, man. It's like they get all their news from TikTok, and there's all these people out there that allege all these conspiracy theories, and they don't know anything. Not to say there aren't conspiracy theories out there that have some merit, but you get all these people out here, and they just, again, like a lot of people in sports journalism, they just go read everything online and then regurgitate it and pass it off as their own. Well, I was contacted by so-and-so, and I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean this to sound praiseworthy of myself. But and maybe, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. But I read from time to time, you know, about real people having real problems. I don't mean celebrities that have a, you know, PR firm and, you know, million-dollar lawyers and things about that. They're not those people. Not to say that their troubles are not noteworthy, but there is this segment of kind of true crime people that have built followings, and then, like, all of a sudden, there'll be, like, a case in your hometown, and then they begin to like go through people's Facebook, and they'll find a friend or a former friend that'll give them something under the guise of anonymity, and they'll go share this, and they get a lot of engagement out there. And sometimes those people are wrong, and there's never really any accountability for it. And the thing that I think about is these people. I'm not going to give you all the details of the case, but there was one recently that I read about where this guy basically fooled this woman, absolutely fooled her. And he's a horrible person. Let's just kind of call it for what it is. He's a horrible person, and he's hurt a lot of people very vindictively. And so then people are like, well, she had to know. Well, then people start like contacting the corporate office of the company that she works for. And then they start making all these claims about her that just aren't valid. They're just lurching out. And it's like all of a sudden they want to do this for internet cred. And so then they go to their burner accounts. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I know that their corporate office was contacted. They're reviewing the matter. Man, this woman has already been through enough. And so what I do is I reach out to those people. I do. And just tell them, hey, your life isn't over. And sometimes they respond. And I had one person in particular this weekend that responded to me and says, you know, these people aren't going to be happy until I kill myself. I had nothing to do with any of this. But all these people on Facebook are not going to be happy until I kill myself. My life is completely destroyed through no fault of my own. I'm dealing with enough. And I've gotten to a point I can barely even go get on social media just to relax and unwind a little bit because I have all these people that are tagging me in posts and messaging me in posts about things I had nothing to do with. Now, they may be completely full of crap. And maybe they did know. But what if they didn't? What if it happened to you? What if it was your family that all of a sudden these internet detectives were digging into because they read a media report that somebody you know was charged with something? And all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, they had to know. How could they not know? Right? I can tell you as a guy in recovery that most people in my family had no clue the things that I was up to. And in many respects, they were stained by the transgressions of my bad decisions. We didn't have social media back then, and thank God, or smartphones, any of that stuff, you know. But the reality of it is these are real people. They're not characters in a play. They're not make-believe people in a Netflix miniseries. These are real people that have real problems. And how would you feel, right, if you just read something on the internet and then just went and messaged somebody, just some complete stranger, and said, go kill yourself? I've seen those messages. I can't believe somebody would be so callous to wish that upon somebody, especially how vulnerable they must already feel because of what's happened within their own family. And then now all these social media strangers are suggesting that you're somehow involved in this. They're contacting your employer. They're contacting your friends, trying to get dirt on you. And the mob always seems to win. So I'd encourage you not to be part of that. But also understand, too, that there are people out there that maybe you know or you don't know that could use your friendship. They could. They could use your support. That's an important aspect of all of this. We're all experiencing the same thing. You never get to choose when trauma is going to come your way. And I mean real trauma. I don't mean that you know, your soy latte had too many ice cubes in it. That's not trauma. There's a reality to this. There is a real life function in all of this. There are a lot of people out there that are really hurting. And to add to their pain or discomfort, I think is just absolutely beyond the pale. I think it's one of those things we absolutely cannot stand for as people. Those are just my thoughts. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart because they have the things that we want. Yeah, we want to be able to outfit ourselves, our homes, our offices, everything with Mississippi State merchandise. You can achieve that by frequenting Campus Bookmart. Next time you're in town, it is a wonderful place to do business. They're Bulldogs just like you and I. Be sure and check them out next time you're in Starkville. Get some new apparel. Get some things for your friends that are getting married during the fall. I think my policy is well stated on that. But you can shop online at campusbookmart.net and have it shipped anywhere in the continental U.S. We'll give you a promo code that helps with that. Promo code is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Those diploma frames are always a great, great idea for the future Mississippi State graduates in your life. All right. We did have some college football over the weekend. Then we're going to take a look at this depth chart. And I want to tell you those depth charts are for entertainment purposes only. More about that in just a moment. But interesting week. They call it week zero. I think it's lame. But nevertheless, we did have some football. It's so interesting how it all worked out. So Iowa State, a bit of an upset over Kansas State. It's a big win early. It really is. And I don't know if you saw the video. I haven't been able to authenticate that. But Avery Johnson, a quarterback from Kansas State, according to the video that's making the rounds, his dad and his brother got into a fist fight outside of the venue. That's a tough look for a young man. And again, those things you begin to think about, the things you do to screw up your kids, that's probably number one on that list. But yeah, nice win for Iowa State. The Cyclones right out of the gate. Probably feel pretty good about life today. Idaho State of the FCS makes it a lot more interesting. You remember UNLV and Dan Mullen were favored by like 35.5. They went by 7. And a lot of people were upset about that. They struggled to beat an FCS team. You cry us a river. We lost to South Alabama under Mullen. Fresno State and Kansas, not much of a contest there. Kansas wins 31-7. I mentioned that Drew Hollingshead was at Western Kentucky. I was mistaken. He has moved on to Coastal Carolina. No impact at all in the ballgame. Mr. Hilltoppers take care of Sam Houston, 41-24. And Stanford and Hawaii, did you watch this? Pretty crazy stuff. The story about the Hawaiian kicker, he's of Japanese descent. And for those of you with the can-do attitude, this is something that should inspire you. He was fascinated by place kicking in American football and went and watched YouTube videos to learn how to kick. Found his way to a junior college program, became their starting kicker, and now he kicks the game winner against Stanford. Guys, Stanford may not win a game this year. I mean, it is that bad at Stanford. I don't know if you've kept up with that at all. But, man, how far have they fallen? Nuts, man. Real quickly, just kind of looking at the Stanford schedule. Because you would think, well, at some point, Steve, they'll have like the California, Culinary Institute or something. No. They get BYU, Boston College, Virginia, San Jose State. That may be a possible win there. At SMU, Florida State, at Miami, Pitt, North Carolina, Cal, and Notre Dame. Which one of those games outside of San Jose State are you picking them to win in? Brutal, man. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. And to lose that game. I mean, if you were thinking, okay, we got a chance to get to 6. We're going to beat Hawaii, and now you're chasing the season one weekend. It's like the season's already over, first weekend. Tough, man. Full slate of games Thursday. We've got a lot of college football this week. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I've always thought Friday should be for high school football. But, yeah, so you're going to be able to kind of turn it on and keep it on basically starting 4:30 in the afternoon on Thursday. Is Boise State is at South Florida. Not a lot of big games on Thursday, but enough to kind of whet your appetite. You get your first look at Missouri at 6:30 on the SEC Network as Central Arkansas. The Bears head to Como. We'll see what happens there. But Yeah, not marquee games, but some things to watch nonetheless. And Friday night, we're heading down to Hattiesburg on Friday. We'll enjoy some fellowship with friends down there. But a fun game Friday night is Auburn is at Baylor. That could be a fun one there. Georgia Tech's at Colorado. You know, that's going to be fun. I think I'm taking Georgia Tech there. But a lot of football kind of coming up here. All right, so let's take a look here at the depth chart, okay? The depth chart for tonight. The depth chart for this weekend. I'm reading my emails. I'm talking to you. But we got a lot going on. We do. And I like having a lot going on. I do. This time of year, I think this is when we thrive. You know, we enjoy kind of getting things done for you guys. But it's also interesting, too, when you begin to think about kind of, you know, what there is and what is to come. I'm excited. You're excited. And it's okay to be excited. I think exuberance and positivity are good things. They certainly are. So let's take a quick look at this depth chart for number one, Southern Miss did not release a depth chart. I don't know what or if any advantage you gain from that, because the truth of the matter is nobody really knows most of those players anyway. And that's not taking a shot at Southern Miss. I mean, like, a lot of these players are kind of off the radar. You're going to know about all the Marshall guys, but the reality of it is I don't know if he just wants to keep him working hard this week or not, but no depth chart from the Golden Eagles. Mississippi State obviously not required to release a depth chart, but they do. Let's run through this real quickly here. Of course, Blake Shapen, QB1, no surprise there. And then Croman Hawk and Kamario both listed as either or for the backup spot. But I think we could see multiple quarterbacks by our choosing in this game. It's interesting, too, you think about the Southern Miss quarterback situation. Kamario might make a pretty good scout team quarterback for your first-team defense. Davin Booth or Fluff Bothwell, either or, is RB1. Johnny Daniels listed also on the depth chart. You got some other guys down the depth chart. Wide receivers, Brennan Thompson, Marcus Allen. Not a lot of discussion about Marcus Allen, but yeah, he makes a move down, from Eastern Michigan. But, Brennan and then Marcus, and then the third-team receiver at that spot is Jerron Glover or Cam Thompson. Cam Thompson, of course, made the move from Northern Illinois. The wide receiver spot opposite him, Jordan Mosley is your starter, and then Aiden Williams or San Francisco McGee. In the slot, it's Anthony Evans and then Ricky Johnson, no or there. So, again, you're starting three, Brennan Thompson, Jordan Mosley, Anthony Evans. Two of those guys, of course, arrived from the transfer portal. All three of them transfers over the course of their careers, but Brennan and Anthony just kind of showing up. First team tied in, no surprise there, Sadu, Trey Orr. If I look at the offensive group, I think this tight end room is probably my biggest concern. Not that we use it a lot, we'd like to, but it's interesting. Offensive line, not a lot settled here, okay? There's a lot of ors. The one thing that is settled is left tackle. Albert Reese is your left tackle. Jimothy Lewis, your second-team left tackle. At left guard, you got Jacoby Jackson or Luke Work. Luke Work has been a little bit banged up here as of late, so I suspect it'll be Jacoby. At center, Cannon Boone or Brennan Smith with Kobe Keenum running third. I suspect it'll be Cannon Boone, probably play both guys. Your right guard right now, it's an or situation. Zach Owens, of course, transferred in from Colorado, or Trevor Mayberry, who came in midway through the spring from Stanford. Right tackle is Blake Steen. The backup is Jakeem Shumpert Perkins. So basically what we know is the tackle spots are settled, but the interior spots probably going to be some moving and shifting around there. And Lovie said today, we want to find our seven or eight that can kind of get it figured out. Defensively here, a lot of ors here too. Brandon Jennings or Malik Sela, transfer in from Texas A&M, will be your starting jack. Then there's Nevaeh Sanders or LaKendrick James. I expect all these guys to play. We're gonna roll a lot of these groups and kind of get playing time for everybody. And these things will get a little more settled. Defensive tackle, Kedrick Bingley-Jones is your starting DT. DJ Reed or A'shaun Shepherd, your second team guy. At the nose tackle, Jare Bledsoe wins the job there. Calvin Dinkins or Jamil Burrows is going to be your number two guy. We expect all those guys to play. Defensive end, not completely settled. It's going to be either Deontay Anderson or Will Woodson transfer in from Coastal Carolina. And then from there, there's a lot of, you know, ors. Trevion Williams, not projected to start right now, but will play a lot. Red Hibbler, of course, kind of a situational guy. Joseph Head Jr., a guy that's been with us for a couple years. We just still expect some big things from him. At the dime, Zachary Tillman or Darion Gillette, who transferred in from Texas. I suspect that'll be Zachary. He's got some currency built up within the program. Nick Mitchell, you're starting Mike linebacker, followed by Jalen Smith or Fat Forrest. I expect all those guys to play. Your Sam backer, technically the star, Isaac Smith. And then there's Tyler Woodard and Tony Mitchell. And I say that because the star position, as we've discussed before, is a hybrid. You don't look at Tony Mitchell or Tyler Woodard and think that they're linebackers. They're technically not. It's basically a box safety position. Cornerbacks, still some intrigue here. Jet Jefferson or Diego Brumfield. And then backed up by Dwight Lewis, of course, transferred and moved in from the NAIA. Also a father, now married with a kid. Kelly Jones or Javen Williams on the opposite side. I fully expect it to be Kelly. Javen Williams is a guy we hadn't talked much about. He was the first transfer portal commitment in this class out of Kennesaw State. Nobody's really talked about him, 6'2", 185, but it'll be interesting to see. And I've had some people tell me this corner room may prove to be better than we think. At safety, Brylon Lanier or Jerron Manning. And then there's Tanner Johnson, you know, from a walk-on that's kind of hung around and done a good job for us. And then there's Hunter Washington or Jerron Manning. So Jerron Manning listed as a potential starter at both safety spots. And Hunter Washington is a guy that Jeff Lebby is really liked the whole way through. Behind them is Cyrus Reyes and Stonka Burnside. It's interesting, people say, well, Stonka's running 14. Why shouldn't he be a receiver? That's not at all what it says here, okay? That's not what it says. Your specialist, Ethan Pulliam listed first, and I don't think that's just alphabetical. And then Nathan Tice, of course, it's moved in. Probably see both of those guys punt. Pretty good-sized punters, too, 6'1", 190 and 6'2", 210. Your kicker is Kyle Ferry, backed up by Marlon Hawk. Your long snapper is Ethan Myers, and then Callan Cosper is your backup there. Ethan Myers, of course, in the transfer. Punt return, and a lot of us is going to depend on down distance. You know, there's just a lot out here, and both guys will get the opportunity, but both of them are transfers. Brennan Thompson from Oklahoma, and, of course, Anthony Evans, the third from Georgia. Kick return, Davin Booth, and as Cliff Odom said, one of the best kick returners in the country with either Brennan or Anthony. So should have some good speed and some explosiveness there. We're putting a lot into these guys, in these transfers. There's a lot invested in each of these guys. And, so we'll see how things go. But that's your depth chart kind of going into this thing. A few things just kind of looking through the notes here, too. There's so much information that's out there about these games. Once we get into game week, it's like a lot of this stuff that everybody's been digging through all summer, you know, is here. So according to the official notes, Mississippi State has 65 new players from last year. 65. 37 from the transfer portal, 9 from JUCO, and 19 true freshmen. We talked about this extensively. You know, now some of those guys obviously were not your traditional signees, but it is what it is. That understood, 11 of your 22 from last year of your starting players are back. 6 on offense, 5 on defense. And all those guys have minimum 6 starts. not listed is Blake Chapin. Yeah. How about that? Because he didn't have six starts last year. So he's back. Really no question about that. And interesting note here. Blake Chapin has thrown a touchdown pass or streak of 15 consecutive games. It's the second longest active streak in the FBS behind Iowa State's Rocco Beck. How about that? How about that? For sure. Another interesting tidbit here from the notes. Bulldog offensive line averaged 311 pounds last year, now 325. We wanted to get bigger, wanted to get more athletic. It appears we have. So, you know, we'll see how things go. But, it's fun to be able to talk about real things now. You know what I mean? It all matters, but like in the summer, it's just such a grind. And now we've got, you know, real football ahead of us, as you guys are well aware. But, looking at the series notes here, we've discussed this before too. 32nd meeting all time, State leads the series 18-12-1. In Hattiesburg, MSU leads 4-1. You familiar with that? Yeah. Southern Miss had their run against State really in Jackson. When the quote, Big Three played the rivalry games in Jackson, that was a big part of it, you know. Mississippi State's largest win, 49-0, back in 2014. You guys remember that? First time we'd played in a long time, since 1990. I think that's correct. Yeah, 1990. State put up 51 points in 1970. Most combined points came in that game. It was a 66-point game, but State got 51 of them, so you can kind of figure out we won there. State's biggest loss, of course, 1968. We lose 47-14. Yeah, it's a tough one for sure. And State's won six in a row. And with a win this weekend, State can match the longest winning streak in the series. Because Southern Miss did have a nice little stretch there for a while. And, of course, most of those games were played in Jackson, Mississippi. So, you know, we'll see. Again, State's had good success in Hattiesburg. And I expect that'll be the case this weekend, too. It's interesting, too, like looking at the numbers of the 100-yard rushers. We've had about a half dozen of those. We haven't had a 100-yard rusher against Southern Miss since 2019. And Colin Hill ran for 123, which is the third most ever for a Bulldog against Southern Miss. Number two on the list was my neighbor, Eagle Motlatch, back in 1947, ran for 127, and Don Smith ran for 130 back in 1984. Many of you guys were around for that. It's always interesting stuff. We have had one 300-yard passer ever against Southern Miss. And that was Tony Shell back in 88. I think there's a good chance that that happens this weekend. A good chance. Just my feeling. We've had three 100-yard receivers in school history in this series. And ironically, Fred Hadley is two of the three in 87 and 88. David Smith, kind of an underappreciated player at Mississippi State, 1969. Yeah, super cool. I mean, the stuff that they dig up, I think, is super cool. Super, because it just kind of reminds you, you know. There's a lot of interesting things that could happen in this ball game. And some notes for us in the media. So, like, that's what happens. They send these notes out, and we're, like, tracking this stuff. When's the last time that Mississippi State did this or did that? So, that's something to kind of watch and see. But, it's year two. Under a new era, and I think many of our fans are kind of seeing ghosts. I wrote about some of that over the weekend. They had 21 transfers from Marshall, and then two of them are no longer on the team. One of them is still not. He left in the spring, a running back. Just wasn't going to run fourth team. He could have just stayed at Marshall, right? And then the punter moved on to Tulane. So 19 of those 21, and it's a mixed bag. It's about half and half. A couple of those guys missed all of last year, so there's no real production from last year, but they're healthy this year, and they've got, you know, a handful of guys. I think I read that they have 17 guys formerly of the SEC, and, of course, some of those guys came from Mississippi State. But kind of sharing some inside information with you, too, on the Southern Miss side of things, you know, that's I've been told Mason Smith, of course, who transferred from State down to Southern, is running with the twos on the defensive line. And he was a guy that really couldn't get reps here. But, looking at the Southern Miss running back room, based on what we have learned here in recent days, it does appear that Jeffrey Pittman, former Bulldog that didn't play last year at all, will be the starting running back for the Golden Eagles. Probably not a surprise. Jeff's a talented guy. I mean, truly is. And I think that's one of those things. Guys move on, and we expected some big things out of Jeffrey Pittman last year, and then obviously he was dismissed for the team for an undisclosed rules violation. He'll be jacked, right? He'll be ready to play Mississippi State, play Jeff Lebby. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But, Jeff, obviously a guy that did some big things at Taylorsville High School. We were happy to get him when we signed him. And, again, expecting big things from him last year. It just didn't come to be. I don't know all the details behind that situation. But I just know that he was not part of our program last year. And Lebby announced that fairly early. I guess it was our first real press conference before we kicked off the season. He goes, Jeff's not going to be with us. And, that's all part of the gig. You got to hold people accountable. And, again, not knowing the nature of the offense, I mean, that's between, Jeff and Mississippi State officials. But Jeff is expected to be RB1. Now, Robert Briggs, a redshirt junior out of Bellevue, Texas, is expected to be the number two running back. He is a 5'9", 185-pound guy. And, guys, Jeff, right? You know how physical Jeff Pittman can be. He's a guy that can really run. But Briggs shows up from Utah State. Of course, Blake Anderson was the OC there in 23. So there's your connection to Briggs. And then the third-team running back that we're expected to see, if I can get back here to my notes here, it's so interesting. When you think you've got it all figured out, you don't. But, it's going to be Matt Jones, product of Jackson Prep High School. Many of you are familiar with him because of his time at Ole Miss. Was there from 21 to 24. He was a former Burlsworth Trophy nominee. How about that? Yeah. But transferred after last year. And, a guy that just kind of wanted to get on the field somewhere. And I don't blame him. Do you? I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. But, he was a guy that was really – I mean, not let's just say, a major part of things. But that's a good get for Southern Miss, to be able to get a guy like him, even though maybe he is a tad undersized. But to get a guy that's got that kind of experience in the Southeastern Conference under his belt, he ran 44 attempts last year for 226 yards, three touchdowns. And I'm sure he went to Southern Miss expecting to get more playing time. But I don't know if that's going to be the case. But that's what the running – they didn't give you a depth chart. I just gave you that. And a lot of concern, too – from some of our connections down at Southern Miss, really about their offensive line. They think they're going to be okay on the interior, a little worried about the tackles. We'll see how it goes. I mean, and I don't know if you can judge much from all of this if you're a Southern Miss fan, just because there's just so many moving pieces to this. It's game one with a bunch of players that have never played together on that offensive line. With a coach that's got different terminology and different techniques. I mean, there's going to be some mistakes. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I mean, that's just going to be the reality of life. For Southern Miss, for probably a game or two, they'll get it going. And I don't think they're going to be a bowl team this year, but I expect to see some real improvement out of Southern Miss. And I still, again, I just struggle with this Hall, why the Will Hall thing didn't work. Now, I wasn't there every day, obviously. But I thought Will Hall would do a really good job recruiting in Mississippi. And I'm surprised not only did they not win, but the fact that this team was just kind of so devoid of talent that it required such an overhaul. And when you go 1-11, you got to go out and get more players. And I think everybody understands that. Nobody begrudges that. But there were some guys that had eligibility that just kind of chose to leave on their own for what they felt were greener pastures. And yeah, I think Hattiesburg's a great town, but it's just interesting just kind of looking through You know, Greg Nunnery, we mentioned him the other day. He's the only regular from last year that's back. And he's a JUCO product. So he's only spent, you know, really, you know, a little time there at Southern Miss. But you know, he was a guy, too, that's been a little bit up and down. He has the guard body style, but appears to be a little more comfortable playing outside. You know, we'll see how that, you know, kind of progresses. But it's just so interesting to me why so many of our fans have been so down, you know, about all of this. Everybody is just kind of down about this. Like we're just kind of holding our breath. And I think, you know, of course, games aren't played on paper, but when you look at these two teams on paper, there's really not much of a comparison between the two. Mississippi State is by far the more talented team. I think in some respects, Jeff Lebby maybe just hasn't earned enough trust with you all yet. My hope is that he does that this year. But, again, kind of back to the offensive line, you know, one of the guys that we expect to be probably the right guard is Aloye Maui from Utah State, another guy that came in with Blake Anderson. And, again, he's listed at 6'1", 310. He's not. He's more like 5'11". And so this should be an offensive line that we should be able to kind of move the line of scrimmage with and put ourselves in a position to get some TFLs. And guys like Jeff Pittman, you can't let him get up and get going. And I think, you know, a big part of that, you know, the zone read stuff that they'll run, you know, some, you know, just like we ran a lot of that, you know, stuff before, you know, and you saw it under the Moorhead era too, maybe just not with the same level of proficiency you saw under Dan Mullen. But, you know, Braxton's a guy, you know, I mean, he is. And again, they worked part of a two-quarterback system last year. But I suspect they have scripted out some plays. No one will be in a base defense early, trying to get some confidence and get the crowd on their feet and things of that nature. But, yeah, I think the whole key to this, and we'll talk more about this on Friday, is we've got to stop the run. You know, simple as that. We've got to stop the run. I don't think that they're going to be able to pass protect. So the part for us is going to be maybe spying the quarterback a little bit and not letting him get out and improvise and go make plays with his feet. Very talented player. And that's a great building block for Coach Charles Huff and the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. It's just being able to, you know, have a quarterback that knows your system, knows your culture, that you can kind of build this program around. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, especially when you're bringing a large group to town. You don't have to. It'd be a shame not to with all the expensive rooms they have there. Six bedrooms, three baths, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, plenty of living room space, the fire pit area, everything you need to have a good time when you come to Starkville is available to you at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We've stayed there. We had a great time. It's so nice to have everybody under one roof. Instead of having everybody scattered out all over the county, and you got to coordinate dinner times and things like that, it's just so much easier when you can just walk across a room and ask somebody where you want to eat. Yeah. You need to make these plans for your friend or family group today. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate for you. You can peruse through all of the amenities available to you and your guest. In addition to that, you'll have the opportunity to see several booking options. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO. It's completely up to you. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. But if you want to save some money, and I'm all about that because if it's free, it's me, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay when you book through Evolve. You could pay more money, but why, right? Just get it taken care of. All right. Jeff Lebby spoke today along with a handful of players. You can find that content for free over at jeanspage.com. We make all the big room stuff free. If everybody else has it, why would we charge for it? We want to be your source for Mississippi State sports, whether you're a subscriber or not, but you should be, and you can be for 50% off the annual subscription price right now, a little promotion that we're running. But, yeah, Lebby, I thought, was really good today. And that's one of the things, too, that we, you know, in our industry, you know, a lot of times coaches can be a little coach-speaky, and Jeff Levy's been accused of that. I thought he was good today. I thought it was one of his better press conferences, and that's all part of learning, too, right? Not that Jeff Lebby needs to learn how to communicate, but just kind of how to handle the media, how to communicate things He did knock on wood when he said that we were healthy and kind of ready to go. And I had somebody else in the building on the way out tell me that we were in good shape. One of the questions that I asked him about was, you know, we had the chance to peruse the depth chart before Lebby spoke. And I asked him about the kind of composition of that offensive line. A lot of people have wondered. Albert Reese at left tackle. People forget Albert Reese was arguably our most talented lineman last year and won the whole trophy. But here's what Lebby had to say. Quote, we've talked about those 5 to 8 guys playing winning football. You'll see guys at different positions. We have multiple guys who will play multiple spots. We need to get to 8 guys who can play winning football. Those guys have worked in a great way, done some really good things. We'll need to play 8 through the season at least to do what we want to do. End of quote. So, yeah, that kind of goes back to our little discussion about the depth chart. You're going to have a lot of different guys playing. I suspect I think you'll probably see 10 guys play this weekend, at least 9. I think you're going to see pretty much everybody on the 2-deep. And, again, we'll see what's going on with Luke Work. But, you know, I think that's a scenario, too, where it's just about finding the guys you can trust, finding guys that can advance this offense, guys that can move the chains, and then you kind of begin to solidify your depth chart kind of moving forward. I went back and kind of asked a follow-up a little bit different, you know, about, you know, just kind of, you know, what he thinks, you know, back to offensive line stuff here, about Phil Oatholt, about what his impact has been since he has been here. And it's only been a short time. I mean, forget, he wasn't here for the end of last year, and he got here in time to kind of work on the spring portal and work guys through spring practice. And here's what Lebby had to say about Oatholt. Quote, how he coaches those guys, the detail, the toughness, the edge, and the physicality, and get guys to play the position the way he played it and the way it needs to be played to give us a chance to win has been fun to see. There is a great amount of familiarity with me and him. I knew what I was getting, and he knew what he was getting. It's been great for us to be back together, end of quote there. Again, I think that's an important aspect of this. It's not just retooling the offensive line from a personnel standpoint. It's retooling the offensive line from a philosophical standpoint. Phil Oatholt, all due respect to Cody Kennedy and everybody else, Phil Oatholt commands the room. He has a presence. This is a guy that has played extensively in the National Football League. He has been in the college game since his playing career ended. So he has been where they want to go. And I think that's an important aspect of this. To have credibility within the room, you know, when you've played in the National Football League, you know what they're looking for, and you can tell people. Not to mention the coaching you get at the highest level of football is something you carry with you the rest of your life. Understanding hand placement, how important it is to take a solid step here, not a false step. There's a lot of guys out there, the footwork is just not good until they get to college, and then it's still kind of a work in progress. But when you've had a guy that's had to do it, that's a big, big, big plus, in the words of Jackie Sherrill. It's interesting, too, we talk about the defensive line. Lebby says, quote, we've gotten a bunch of guys back over the last 4 to 5 days. We're healthy in that room right now, and that's exciting. I think we have the ability to roll guys. We need fresh and fast bodies in a big way. Excited to see those guys cut loose, end of quote. He's talking about rolling, basically a lot of rotation. We're going to roll different guys in and out. And so that's one of the reasons that I say this depth chart stuff is not anything to kind of get too bent out of shape about. It's because of the fact we're still trying to figure out what's the best group, who works best as a group. And that's what these non-conference games are for. We have 4 of them to prepare us for the Southeastern Conference, and we need to win them all. We do. But before we go play a Power 4 opponent, we got to go play somebody that really wants to beat us, and they'll treat it like their Super Bowl. And I even kind of asked Lebby a little bit about that aspect of it. You know, kind of being, you know, he knows what it's like to be that first-year coach, and you want to go out there and do some, you know, some things to let people know that you're putting your stamp on things. Quote, you try not to chase ghosts, but there are some unknowns out there. You try to prepare for everything. The way you do that is make it really simple on both sides of the ball so the guys can adjust and go play free and fast. End of quote. And that's a fun thing, right? That's a fun thing right there, is making it your winning, make sure you're winning the chess match. Listen, Southern Miss has absolutely nothing to lose, but neither does Mississippi State. We got nothing to lose, but we're expected to win the game. They're not. And so if you're Charles Huff and you go out there and just go for it on fourth down on the first drive and you don't get it and you end up getting beat, you just end up getting beat. You try an onside kick. You try a fake punt. You do all kind of crazy stuff, trick plays, gadget plays. And maybe you don't want to put too much on your team this early, you know, if you're Huff, because you're kind of dealing with some of the same things too. You're trying to figure out who you can trust. And all of a sudden, when you've got a team with perhaps a fragile psyche and you go out there and you dial up some trick play and it doesn't work, then all of a sudden it kind of erodes the trust they may have in the staff. And you don't want to, you know, just diminish their level of confidence. And so I do think that there will be some shenanigans. There will be some chicanery in this ball game. I have no doubt about that. Levy was also asked about how much fun is it when you've got all these new toys on offense to prepare a call sheet. Levy says, making sure the ball gets in the right guy's hands. That's my job offensively, to make sure the right guys are touching the football. We have the opportunity to spread it to a bunch of different guys. We've got to get those guys the ball early and often. That's the funnest part, end of quote. I had somebody tell me today, off the record, of course, this wide receiver room is better than last year's. And I think it's important to understand, this time last year, again, we didn't know who Kevin Coleman was. We didn't know what Mario Craver was going to bring. They're not with us anymore. They're somewhere else in the conference. But we didn't have six, seven, eight guys that we thought could go make marketable plays against Southeastern Conference opponents. You go back and look, we did not rotate a lot last year at wide receiver. We believe we're going to be able to do a lot more of that this year, and that's an important aspect of it. Sharing some other things with you, too. I know some of you guys are like me. Like, I love all the pomp and circumstance of pregame. I love it. I do. I absolutely love it. I didn't like the decision last year to go to Dire Straits Money for Nothing. Not that I don't love the song. I do. I just don't think that does enough to just kind of fire up the crowd. We're informed today we're going back to Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls. Absolutely the right decision. Absolutely. You're going to hear some Ozzy at times during the game, and I've also been told that the post game is going to be tremendous, that we're doing some incredibly important things for post game that will really enhance the game day experience. When I upload this show, I got to change clothes and head up to Davis Wade. We are going to get an opportunity this evening to see the LED lights, see the light show, kind of see some of the things. We will have a report on that later in the week, but you should be kind of checking socials, because most of us, I'm sure, will have some videos of some of what we see tonight. And we're happy to share that with you, because you are caretakers of this program as well. You're invested. You deserve to know. But again, I think it's going to be a super cool thing. To have a bit of a preview, but also, too, to give you guys a little something to get excited about, too, as you begin to make your plans to be here next weekend for Arizona State. I had this discussion with the bride this morning, and I know some locals disagree with me, and that's okay. That's okay. I'm not running for mayor, despite some people asking me to. I love it when you all come to town. I love those Fridays. Right, I don't even really go to town on Fridays, because it's not that I'm avoiding you, but it's just so difficult to navigate. You know, of course, we got some things, some construction projects are still going on. But you all bring so much energy to town. And of course, we want you to do business with Starkville businesses. I mean, the community depends on you. You know, we love it here, but we love it when you visit. And it was so much fun. I kind of harken back to 14, right? When, if you lived here, you went to Walmart on Thursday. You went and did all your shopping for the weekend on Thursday, because we knew on Friday it was going to be almost impossible to navigate in town. I love that. I love it. And I remember being a young person, and even being a young dad, I couldn't wait to get to Starkville. And as David says, yeah, now we live here. How great is that? It is the greatest place I have ever lived. I love living here. I love the people here. And excited about what is to come. And I'm sure some of you have learned about the crossroads. event. I mean, our project that will start in October, we'll start building the Madeline Hotel, which will be a luxury hotel just across from campus. They're going to build that incredible walking bridge where you'll be able to walk over 12 to get to the Crossroads Junction on your way to the Cotton District. Basically, we're going to connect campus and the Cotton District. And when you see how big that the renderings are for that walking bridge, that was one of the things I worried about. It's like, you know, how big is that bridge going to be? And sometimes kids are going to be walking back and forth and maybe intoxicated. And, you know, how do we want to handle that? It's going to be a much safer thing, we believe. But going to be a lot more restaurants and shopping opportunities for you guys in the years to come. It's going to take a little time, of course, and we're renovating downtown. There's a lot to be excited about in Starkville. And my hope is that the football team will kind of match that excitement level. But we'll talk a lot more about the matchup with Southern Miss as we get deeper into the week. But the reality of it is that I don't know if there's ever been a better time to live in Starkville. And every day gets a little bit better. You know, the fact that we've got this big plan coming, of course, that was the thing. You're going to have the Grant Library over there. It's going to make it more of a tourist-type place. And I'm sure we'll get a ton more visitors because it's kind of difficult to get to now. It truly is. But there's a lot of good things happening around here. And I believe that we have leadership that is pushing Mississippi State forward. And listen, the city of Starkville hadn't always been the most willing partner. And that sounds kind of silly, but it's true. And I believe we have made significant progress in those areas because of the fact everybody benefits when Mississippi State does well, and Mississippi State benefits when Starkville does well. So this project is going to be wonderful. I know many of you are already thinking, I want to stay there. And also, too, there's going to be a 700-spot parking garage. Desperately needed. Right? Desperately needed for the Cotton District. There's really nowhere to park now, but you're going to have the opportunity, of course, now to use that parking garage, and it will be paid parking. You can rest assured of that. We've got to find a way to pay for all this stuff. But some big things are happening, and maybe you haven't taken the time to read up on that. I would encourage you to do so. This is a significant development. And will only make Starkville more of a destination town. And I think it's a place that you're going to be proud to come visit. And maybe perhaps move your family here. Maybe you hit up Blair Chandler at closeofblair.com and just go ahead and make the move up here full time. And you can be with us for all these midweek basketball and baseball games and everything else that goes along. And, you know, we'll have Jeff Levy later this week at walk-ons for the coaches show, the call-in show. That'll be fun too. And we typically turn out and just go, you know, support Coach Levy and the football program. We do enjoy having a chance to get out and be around them and just kind of enjoy being people. If you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles that I have personally written. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and The Dude, which is still doing extremely well. Thank you very much. And also the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. If you are in recovery or need to be in recovery or know somebody in recovery or you just like an underdog story or a comeback story, that's the book for you. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have about the joy of floating. And she floated today. I have not been able to float. I will this week. I need to be prepared. The older I get a little more aches and pains, it's nice to be able to go float and kind of beat some of that stuff back. So we may be able to help you too. And, of course, come join us at jeanspage.com, the greatest Mississippi State website that's ever existed. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just, Fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.